So I'm sitting here with Simon Musiker and Dan Brecky, KQED legends, at least.
Thank you.
You're very
in
welcome.
In our own minds.
And this is the first and most likely last KQED
Don't
Music
say that. You
podcast.
Have to power positive thinking. Is that your title?
And these are two of the greatest practitioners of positive thinking I've ever met in my life. I do have to say that. Why are you laughing?
You lifted us up out of the gutter.
Okay, but we're here to discuss the America's Cup, a topic of which I am almost preternaturally bored with, not in a journalistic fashion, because I can't say that publicly, but as a personal lover of sport and athletic competition, and someone who just spent perhaps 12 hours watching water polo and even skeet shooting last week, I do not.
Oh, that's really exciting stuff.
I do not want to watch the yacht races, but let me maintain my ignorance right here. Let me proclaim it. I've never watched a yacht race. I know nothing about it. And I would dare say that there are a good number of San Franciscans, at least in a certain socioeconomic strata, that is probably in the same boat as I am. And I've got my air quotes up.
As soon as you put the word yacht around anything, you begin to think of Thurston, whatever his
Howell
name is.
Howell III with the ascot.
From Gilligan's Island. Yeah. And there's the problem. I mean, think about Lou Wolfe. Who has a connection with Lou Wolfe or the Steinbrenners?
Owner of the
A's. Those are rich people's games. It just happens we like the action on the field. You can make the argument that baseball is numbingly dull, and soccer, where nobody scores. But you put about half a dozen 45-foot catamarans out in 25-knot winds, make them all go around the mark at the same time, that's pretty exciting.
Well, you know, I would go back.
What's a knot?
I would go back. A knot is something that you can put in a rope or your shoelaces, and that's the way I did it until I was about 12 years old. I would like to actually go back to, as I always do, to 1851 when the America's Cup started.
I remember it well. That's right.
No, but listen, there is some appeal to this just for the history. I mean, this is one of the longest running sports competitions, international sports competitions anywhere.
And it was started when the American Syndicate, a bunch of rich people, got together at the New York Yacht Club and went over to England and said, we can beat the best English boat. And they took on a bunch of comers. And it was an extension for many, many, for really over a century of countries and around the world, their economic, their maritime might, their ability to project their power around the world through their navies, but also their cool sailing boats.
Even if you knew what the America's Cup was, it didn't mean much. But I think it was a relatively dry exercise until the 1980s. And what happened then was the Australians beat the United States. And suddenly there was some competition there. And they did it not just through raw sailing nerve or keel hauling somebody or whatever they do out there on the high seas, but they did it with a combination of real sailing knowledge and some really breathtaking technological breakthroughs. But it was all of a sudden this thing that had been automatically American and you only had to care about every 4 years when you would see guys like Bus Mosbach or Ted Turner on the cover of Time magazine. Suddenly it wasn't automatic anymore. And Dennis Conner, the skipper who lost it to Australia, besmirching the honor of the United States, which had never lost this competition from the 1850s up through the 1980s, he went back and took on the Australians in awful sailing conditions and beat them. He not only beat them, he humiliated them the same way they had humiliated us. Then other countries started to jump into this thing.
And the potential is there now in San Francisco Bay. And again, this could be seen to be a real innovation in the sport, is to take this, what has been a sailing race that's typically offshore, miles and miles off, and now they're going to be right off the Marina Green. So not only can you have TV cameras and helicopters and other boats, but you can sit on the Marina Green or watch it from the hills of San Francisco or even the Marin side and catch some of the action, catch a lot of the drama.
Well, and the parallel development you mentioned before is that they're also going from sailing what everybody would recognize as a racing yacht, this monohulled, single-hulled boat with a great big set of sails. They went from that to what are hot rods? They're catamarans that are with wings, not sails, that are built for pure speed. And they've got some great sailors out there. Russell Coutts, who's one of the guys who's won the Cup in the past, he wound up flipping his boat over and plunging through the sail or the wing himself.
Okay, now I'm interested.
and
will I be seeing? Can you guarantee I will be seeing something like that again?
You can almost with the weather conditions on the bay. You're almost guaranteed to see a NASCAR style wreck. Now, whether it's really that immediate and exciting, Larry Ellison is hoping so, and that's somebody else we have.
Well, let me ask this: is there any potential that we might see Larry Ellison in shark-infested waters?
I think that Larry Ellison could take on most sharks. I mean, keep in mind. So, Dan is saying is absolutely right. These are hot rods. They're 45-foot boats. They run. They'll sail 20 miles per hour in these 25-knot winds. But you put them out on this choppy water, and then you give them these very delicately built. Hulls, these two dual hulls and a kind of a flat sheet of canvas between called the trampoline. And they're, even though that makes them fairly stable, supposed to make them fairly stable, they actually are really prone to tip over to the side, called capsizing, and then what's called pitch poling, where they hit a wave or the balance gets wrong, and then they go end, or they get the wind behind them and a little sea picks them up from the back, and then they go end over end cartwheeling into the through the water. And
just for our audience, let me describe. Sai's hand is perpendicular now to the table.
I've done a lot of capsizing. It's scary. It's dangerous. You can drown. And it takes enormous smarts about how you handle the different variables in your boat, where the sail is, this fixed wing sail, how you maneuver, and the San Francisco Bay has these outrageous currents and tides pushing people around that sailors who have been here for decades sailing have still not mastered.
So, if the average sports enthusiast tunes in on television. What are they likely to see in terms of action? Not perhaps the crashes, but if you're just going along, they're just sailing along and racing.
What they're going to do is there's been some, I mean, they're great camera angles they're able to create. So that's one thing. It'll be good technical coverage on the TV. But there's also been some excellent tracking. I would call them apps, for lack of a better word, that actually give you a very good readout of relative speeds and relative position. And they're actually able to sort of do, 360-degree or 180-degree spins and aerial views, all, computer-generated, to show you, to illustrate how the race is actually working. So if you start out knowing nothing about sailing tactics, and classic sailing tactics may not really come into play so much here, but if you come into it knowing nothing, you're going to learn, because this whole thing is an educational tool.
I'm going to need to cut about 98% of this.
Sure.
So I'll leave in the joke about the sharks. Sci Musicer Dan Brecky, you've almost convinced me. I think I'm going to watch.
We're going to have it on in the newsroom.